chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now, John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him in all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he warned them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. Now, when I was a child, the time before Christmas was a time to dream. And I remember lying on the floor underneath our 70s artificial Christmas tree and looking up through the sparse branches at the lights glowing, dreaming of Christmas break from school, of toys and the adventures that I would have with them, dreaming as I looked at and, don't tell my mother, sometimes played with the pieces of the nativity scene on our piano top in the living room, dreaming of the trip of the wise men, wondering about the life of the shepherds, especially the one that had the lamb over his shoulders. Do you remember that one? It is a human thing to dream. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on a late August day in 1963 on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial shared a dream that he had. A dream that seemed inconceivable to a nation still deeply segregated into white and black. A dream where sons of former slaves and sons of former slave owners will be able to literally just sit at the same table. Where children are judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Where those with dark skin do not have to use separate bathrooms, water fountains, live separate lives. Where they did not have to fear being beaten or killed because they dared to exercise their right to vote, to be educated, to live. A dream that would overturn the standing order of things, especially in the American South, and bring freedom and justice for all people equally. An inconceivable dream to those who heard it. It's a human thing to dream, but God has a dream too. One that the prophet Isaiah lays out before us in our reading today. A dream that is inconceivable to us, but not to God, for God with all things are possible. It's a dream of the kingdom of heaven, where the inconceivable is the natural order of things, the way God created them to be. Isaiah tells us that God dreams of a world where the wolf and the lamb lie down together, where the leopard lies down with the kid, where predators and prey live peaceably with one another, where no one tries to hurt another or destroy them. God dreams of a world where out of what seems dead comes life. true life. Even out of a stump, cut low to the ground, seemingly lifeless, its once great majesty forgotten. For Isaiah tells us that God will dream forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, a new branch from that seemingly dead tree of the great King David. Hope for return to what was the best of times for the Jewish people. A hope placed before them in the midst of their despair, because the northern kingdom of Israel had been conquered by the Assyrian Empire. The southern kingdom of Judah was threatened. The land promised to their ancestor Abraham as a perpetual holding, seemingly slipping through their fingers. A dream of a new ruler for the people of Israel, the people of the world. One in whom the Spirit of the Lord has come to dwell, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in God's presence, the very blessing that was prayed over each of us at our baptism, our being washed in these waters. This ruler will not judge on the surface of things by sight and hearing, but with righteousness, looking into a person. A ruler whose option is for the poor and the meek, whose power lies not in arms, but in what is right. Whose power is not this, but this. Inconceivable. God dreams of a world filled with justice and righteousness, not our human approximations, but a world where the hungry have enough to eat, where there is no more cancer, where the stain of hatred is washed clean from human hearts, where bigotry and jealousy are no more, where fear and its cousin anger are no more, where greed and lust for power and money are no more, where God's truth and justice prevail for everyone. God dreams of a world where those created in God's image do not shoot one another, do not stab one another, do not punch one another, despise one another, but rather embrace one another in love as those created in the very image of God. The dreams of God are inconceivable to us, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. God has a dream. One that has come walking into our waking, not as a nightmare, but as a hope fulfilled. A dream come to us in Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. A dream embodied in this man from Galilee who speaks and shatters the illusions of the wicked, who pokes holes in our elaborate charades about who we are, about the systems we create, about the righteousness of our cause, who shows us the truth of things. A man who is clothed in righteousness and faithfulness to God, who embodies God's dream for the world, who speaks of this dream as a reality, and who embodies the truth of it in our lives. But this dream of God comes with destruction. Destruction of the forces, the systems, the ways of being that exist now that do not make for justice and righteousness, that are the anti-dream of God. It's like we talked about on Wednesday at our first Advent midweek service. When we sing, O come, Emmanuel, we are praying for holy disruption. As we learned in our journey through the Gospel of Luke last year, as we hear Mary sing in her song, her Magnificat, about her son Jesus, that he has come to overturn the ways of the world, right? The kingdom that he brings is one that will cast the mighty down from their thrones, will uplift the humble of heart. The hungry will be fed with good things. The wealthy will have no part. Inconceivable. This is the root of the warning John the Baptist gives as he takes up the mantle of Isaiah and proclaims again God's dream for the world, announces the coming of that dream, a dream that will cost us something, a warning that our participation in this dream of God's kingdom means our cleansing will be more than just the washing of baptism, but also perhaps being thrown into the air to have all the worthless stuff in our lives blown away like so much chaff. Perhaps being put through the proverbial flames of the refiner's fire that burns off all the dross, the useless stuff, until what is left is the purity of what God has called and equipped us to be. It will cost us something, this dream of God's peaceable kingdom. It will cost our delusions about our abilities to live life well on our own. Our comfort that we have built into systems around us, especially us mostly middle-class Midwestern folks, that tends to isolate us from the harsher realities of life. It makes us uncomfortable at the beginning, as the illusions of this world are held up against God's dream reality. But this dream of God's, which seems so inconceivable to us, I don't know about you, but that's where I want to live. A reality that's so much better than all the saccharine worlds created by Hallmark movies or the soft glow of sentimentality of a Thomas Kincaid painting. They feel good, but they aren't real. As difficult as it may be, I want to live in God's dream, where there are no more people dying from war even as we sit here. Where there are no children going to bed hungry tonight. Where there are no people without shelter, without food, without love. Where we live not in fear and anger towards one another, but with love and compassion. John the Baptist has come to announce to us that in Jesus we have the fulfillment of God's dream through Isaiah. That in Jesus, God with us, we have the fulfillment of the kingdom of heaven. A reign Jesus has inaugurated and will bring to completion when he comes again. A reign, a dream, we pray every week will come. Now, even a little bit. Become reality in our lives. A rain that we pray even a little bit will catch us in the strong wind of the Holy Spirit and toss our lives about, shake loose those things that seem so important to us but really are just chaff, useless stuff. A breeze that blows it away so there's room for us to see clearly God's dream and live into that reality. Dreams are wondrous and dangerous things for us humans. They can make us complacent, become an escape from what is, shelter from reality, a buffer. But they can also inspire us. Literally breathe life into us. Stir us to action to make that dream a reality, to strive for it. And so I invite you into this dream this Advent, to dream with God, not small dreams we humans have, but to join the dreaming of God A dream where we strive not for wealth and power, but for peace and justice. A dream where we work for the good of all people, but especially for those who do not have the basics of life, who are on the fringes of our society. A dream of a world filled with joy. But remember, the root of that word is grace. A world filled with joy, with peace, which, remember, is not the absence of conflict, but is that deep well of stillness, wholeness. A world that is filled with love, God's self-sacrificial love for one another, for you, God's love for you and for your children and your neighbor and all the world that God called into existence. And so let us dream this Advent God's dream. God's dream become reality in Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, my friends, let us dream. And now I invite us to stand as we sing our hymn of the day.